In our next segment, WOC correspondent Steve Pierce finishes his tour of new low-power FM stations in New Orleans at WXDR, Dolphin Radio at Delgado Community College. He spoke with longtime radio activist Bob Dunn.
I started this station 7 years ago in cooperation with a professor who was the newspaper advisor. I was teaching television and radio production, and the opportunity came up to start a radio station. And at first we went with a Part 15 unlicensed station, basically an AM station that operates legally under the FCC rules, 10th of a watt, and we covered a couple of miles with it, and we also started streaming on the internet. So the station had been here for a few years before the FCC reopened the low-power FM window, and when they did, I jumped on that.
So you had an existing station that was running on low-power AM, and you got a chance to go to low-power FM. What was your goal? What is the organizing principle behind Dolphin Radio?
Well, initially, the idea behind it was in part to provide a platform for students wanting to get their feet wet. I got my career started in college radio, like a lot of people. I mean, my first exposure to working in a radio station was at WTUL, the Tulane University station. So I've got a real soft spot for college radio, and I thought this would be a good opportunity. We had a program at the time having to do with broadcasting, and this would be a good chance for those students to have a venue, for the students who were studying journalism to have a venue, and also to give students an activity just for some fun, and also to wave the flag of the of Delgado Community College, which is just a really, really got a lot of different programs in a lot of different areas and has a very, very diverse student population. So we wanted to be a training ground. We wanted to be a playground. We wanted to be a place that would also afford voices to the voiceless, like all good community radio stations. We wanted to carry some programming that you wouldn't necessarily hear elsewhere.
And your background is broader than just radio. You teach mass communications. How did you get into that?
Okay, well, I teach mass communications now. I'm on the staff at Dillard University, which is a historically black college or university, well known in this area. And I went to work for them after my program was shut down here at Delgado Community College. But my background before that, I'm not an academic. I'm really a broadcaster. And so I've worked in television, in radio and film production, really almost since I was 17 or thereabouts, and I'm 60 years old now, so you do the arithmetic. So broadcasting is in my blood, radio particularly. I've been fascinated with radio since I was a kid, and despite all of the proclamations to the contrary, radio is not dead.
What is it about 100-watt FM radio that excites you after all these years in the field at the big stations and beyond?
It's the chance to do things a little bit different, to play music that maybe isn't heard elsewhere and maybe music that's heard everywhere else. But it's there's something magic about having a voice coming through a speaker. And it's not just somebody playing songs. It's not just Spotify. It's not just Pandora. But it's somebody keeping you company. It's somebody who is entertaining you. And to say where that magic is or where it comes from, I've been trying for decades to try to sort of get a handle on what that magic is. But it's there.
It's so interesting that with all the communications options that are out there now, the online services, just all the many ways that people can reach out to one another, that 100-watt FM radio stations have excited such passion in people. There's something about it as an organizing principle that seems to be really strong. Is there something that really resonates as far as this LPFM station and New Orleans as a unique culture and Delgado as a unique institution? Does that all come together in the radio station?
Delgado Community College and its population, its student population, as I said, is very, very diverse. It's very mixed. And so our programming reflects that mix. We have students from Vietnam. We've got students from the Middle East, white students, African-American students. And so our programming, I like to joke that It's everything from Led Zeppelin to Henry Mancini. It's not quite that drastic, but it almost is. So we play hip-hop and country, not necessarily at the same time. By the way, hip-hop country is an abomination. It's a genre. Look it up. So we're playing a little bit of everything depending upon the time of day, and it reflects the diversity of the student population, reflects the diversity of the city, and the wide range of folks here on campus.
What are the challenges of running an LPFM?
I always draw the analogy to the dog that's chasing the fire engine. And then what happens if one day that dog actually catches a fire engine? What the hell is it going to do with that fire engine? The challenges are, who knew? There are the technical challenges because equipment breaks. Equipment stops working. Things that worked yesterday will not be working today necessarily because, you know, we're not all using top-of-the-line, latest, fancy, high-end equipment. A lot of things are begged and borrowed and hand-me-down stuff, and so we've got to nurse that along. There are personnel issues because, after all, the air staff is volunteers, and if a volunteer decides that he or she would much rather go to Jazz Fest than do his or her radio show, then that radio show is not going to happen, right? And if you get somebody who has their priorities a little bit different from those of the radio station, you may have some conflicts there. And what I mean by that is I tell the staff members, particularly the students, that there's sort of a hierarchy of importance. And the most important thing is the college itself. And we want to make sure that we are making people aware of what a great place Delgado Community College is. Then the second thing on the hierarchy is the radio station. Always want to be promoting the radio station, branding the radio station, letting people know we're out there. And the third thing is whatever you're about. So if you're really into Bulgarian folk music and that is what makes you get up in the morning, that's great, but you can't make that your top priority at the expense of the other two. And how that manifests itself sometimes is with people who kind of fancy themselves entrepreneurs and promoters, and they've got a show that they want to promote, or they've got, I don't mean a radio show, I mean like a paying show. And we're a non-commercial station, so when, you know, I had a student DJ who was in effect running commercials for her friend's business, and to be able to monitor that stuff and keep tabs on it and manage it, I'll say, to put a stop to it, is a challenge in and of itself. Add to that, as I said, a lot of the equipment is hand-me-down, and sometimes we need to replace it. Where is that money going to come from? In this case, in this particular radio station, we get some funding from the Student Government Association. They bought the transmitter. We get some funding from our fundraising, or actually begging it, and a little bit of funding from underwriting, but it's not really enough to really run a radio station. So make it up with Band-Aids and chewing gum.
And what about audience? That's also a question that people ask about LPFM. Do you have any sense of that? Do you let that worry you?
I don't. I really don't, because we like to do remote broadcast. I'm a big fan of doing remotes in the community. And it's always very heartening when somebody comes up and says, Dolphin Radio, oh, I love you guys. And can that be quantified? No. Can it be turned into ratings? No. We get feedback from our Facebook page. We get feedback from our web page. And so I know that people are listening. I know people are out there. And I will look sometimes on our web stream, and it'll spike at times depending upon who's doing what show. I got a kind of an inkling when somebody from the Nielsen folks, the Nielsen Arbitron folks, said we were having a little bit of conflict because our former frequency, 98.9, was on the same frequency as the station in Franklinton, Louisiana. And the ratings people were getting confused because Franklinton's about 60, 70 miles away, and they were showing up in people's diaries and ratings for New Orleans, and we were showing up on the same frequency, and it was confusing them. And I said, well, what would it cost for us to get ratings? And they said, oh, you really can't afford it because you're averaging only a few thousand listeners a week. Oh, well, you just gave me the answer to my question. And whether they intended to do that as a kindness or that was just an accident, that was fine.
Great. Anything you want to add for our listeners in upstate New York?
Hi, upstate New York. How are you? Greetings from down here in the swamplands. Thanks for tuning in and supporting your community radio station. Without you, it just doesn't happen.
That was WXDR founder Bob Dunn speaking about one of the five new low-power community radio stations on the air now in New Orleans.